Global markets are looking rather tepid today, with European markets firmly in the red, with some mixed performances in the United States, of course, with a downward bias. Here at home, the all-share index declined by 0.1% at the close to around 57,313 index points. Financial and gold counters appear to be the only sectors that managed to hold their heads up and stay in the black. The local currency was fairly stable against major currencies, trading around 14.76 against the US dollar, 16.35 against the euro, and 19.08 against the British pound. I'm joined in studio by David Shapiro, the deputy chairman of Sasfin Securities. Welcome, David.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Through the rain.
I'm glad you just made it. So tell me, what are the global drivers today?
The big worry is that the senators passed this bill censuring. I don't know whether censuring is, but supporting the Hong Kong protesters. And, of course, this has irked China, and China said they'll retaliate. And it also complicates the deal, the trade deal between China and America at the moment, putting a bit of tension on. So markets are not quite sure how to interpret this this bill by the Senate, and it was unanimous. I think everybody in the Senate supported it, both Republicans and Democrats. So that's just a dampener. I thought that the market would react more vigorously on the down, but down about 0.25%, if that. I'm talking about the S&P. Hardly any reaction. Europe was also a little softer as well. But in all fairness, we've had such a good run. We're in record territory now. There's bound to be some catalyst that's going to cause a bit of selling. So I don't think markets are too perturbed about what's happening. We don't know President Trump's reaction. And also, this is taking place against the testimony in Congress and, on impeachment proceedings, or whether they're going to impeach.
Yes.
And so geopolitically, things are, it's still tense. All the same stories are still there. Brexit's still there. And now we don't know what's going to happen with Brexit, simply because the polls are being skewed by the debate last night. So it can be anybody. The Conservatives are still ahead, but it's not it could be a hung majority. In other words, they might not get a clear majority. So,
and that will be very messy indeed.
So we don't know, So you can't call it either way, and you can't call what the outcome is going to be anyway.
It seems almost as if our local market is kind of decoupled from international markets, but it was down in line with international markets today, ever so slightly, down 0.01%. Any particular factors affecting our local market at all?
Look, all the top stocks, those that influence the index, were down. So AB InBev and Naspers, which was very strong yesterday, came back. And most of the top end stocks were down. I think the big story and the big movers was all around Remgro and RMB's decision to unbundle its first Rand
stake. Yeah, just explain that a little bit. It's a bit confusing.
It is confusing, and I don't think there's anything sinister about it. I think it's run its course. So you had Remgro, which was the company which held a stake in RMB, about 28%. I'm not sure.
That's correct.
28% of RMB.
Yes.
RMB, in turn, owned 34.1% of First Rand. So RMB is going to, let's put it this way, I'll go back to first step. So Remgro is going to unbundle its RMB. Then, because you've got RMB, you will get now First Rand. So, in effect, Remgro and RMB are breaking up those companies. They were nothing more than holding companies. Remgro's unbundling its stake of First Rand.
Yes.
This is through RMB, it held First Rand.
Yes.
So effectively, what's happening is that a lot more RMB, First Rand shares are going to come onto the market. Almost 40% more shares of our First Rand. But
help me understand, what does it mean when they say they're going to be distributing these shares
In other words,
they're going to be giving them away.
They're going to give them to you. If you were an RMB shareholder, you're going to get First Rand shares.
Oh.
Of course, the value of the RMB goes down proportionately or apportionately.
There's some dilution.
There is a massive dilution. But to give you the bottom line, what it means is that the market's seeing the end of Remgro. Okay, this was a company which held Richemont and British American Tobacco, was the holding company of the Rembrandt Group.
Yes.
Of the Ruperts. And I think the market's saying, we're seeing the end of this. In other words, there's no purpose in holding Remgro anymore, and nor does Remgro see any purpose of continuing. So I'm giving you the market's interpretation because those shares all went up because of the value unlock. At the end, I don't think Remgro is going to have enough assets to really make it worthwhile or what it used to have. So they're giving you the first round. Sooner or later, they'll give you RCL, and sooner or later, they'll give you MediClinics, etc., and carry on, because I think that's what the market's saying. I hope it comes through articulately to you in a way.
I am still a bit confused, but thank you for trying to explain.
I think if you understand the composition of those companies,
yes,
you'll understand what I'm talking about. You know, both of these, Remgro's had a long history on the JSE together with, and RMB was nothing more than an intermediate company that held their first rand stake.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So all of those are being broken up now.
Yeah.
And you're going direct. It's breaking up. They're also unlocking the value because at each step, there was a bit of value lock. They didn't represent the underlying assets, you know. Everybody complained about the big discount in Remgro. This is a way of closing that gap. And in RMB, we see it in PSG, we see it AI, what's it, the African Capital as well, complain about the what they call the value, you know, value lock, that the share price doesn't represent what they hold. And this is a way, so okay, you have the shares. Of course, you'll get them at the market value, and of course, that lifts the value.
Super. And then, Lewis,
you're going to have to go over this all over again.
Listen, I'll go and do some reading. The Lewis Group, they came out with good results
because
they've had a tough time, and then they obviously had to restructure, sort themselves out, and sort out their credit books and all the rest of it. But they've come out with good numbers. Your thoughts on Lewis?
Look, they were up 12%. I think it's a bit of an exaggeration for the kind of results that they showed. They were good numbers, but I wouldn't imagine that they justified, you know, that kind of gain on the market. But generally, retailers were better with the lower CPI number. So the market starting to edge or position itself for a rate cut. I don't think we're going to get it. We'll hear soon. But I think the market just looking a little better at retailers, and they've done well this year. You know, they had a torrid time a few years ago with the scandal that hit them on the insurance side, and you know, and they came under a lot of scrutiny by regulators and by the authorities. So they've picked up from that, and I think these were good sales.
Mm, super. And then in terms of the Reserve Bank, which was going to be my next question, you say you don't think we're going to get it. Why don't you think we're going? I mean, we've got 3.7. The market had expected 3.9, 3.8. It's way below what was expected. And on top of that, the Reserve Bank wants an average of 4.5% in a given year.
I think there's concerns about what lies ahead for the economy and what pressures will be brought to bear on us if we do get downgrades and interest rates kick up at that end. So there's this deep fear of where we might be next year.
Yeah.
And I think they're looking ahead, or Reserve Bank looking ahead, inflation there. But I mean, if you really look at it, there's absolutely no reason against this kind of backdrop to raise rates. You can have different interpretations, you know. My view is that when you saw the extent of the falls in inflation, in my view, there's no demand. You know, you've got to kick demand, which you can do by lowering rates, you know. And we've seen it in a lot of the retail sales. The demand is not there. You know, even if you've lowered prices, people are holding back. So I think this economy needs a little bit of a kick or a little bit of help. And suppose that, you know, lowering rates would help. But let's see. It's anybody's guess. I'm not the expert in that side at all.
Yes. Anyway, you're going to steal my next one of my next guests, Thunder, if we extend this conversation.
Yeah, but he's an expert. I'm just guessing along here.
David, thanks very much. That's where we're going to leave it. That was David Shapiro. He's the Deputy Chairman at SAS Fin Securities.